Welcome to the It Feels Right podcast. Today I am solo hosting, but with a very special guest, the UTR Sports CEO and chairman, Mark Leschly, who has recently entered the sport of pickleball and has claimed a couple very key partnerships. And we are going to sit down and talk about all of it. Let's get right into it.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right. It feels right. Legendary.
Ladies and gents, before we hop into the show, I do want to talk to you a little bit about Selkirk's amazing line of pickleball nets. And whether you're just starting out or you're a seasoned pro, Selkirk has the perfect net for you. When you choose a Selkirk net, you're not just choosing any net, you're opting for the official net of the PPA Tour, where excellence meets professional play. With Selkirk's line of nets, you can play pickleball anywhere. Selkirk's range of nets caters to every player's needs, offering budget-friendly choices for casual enthusiasts and premium options for those with a competitive edge that are looking for more of the pro-level net. So either way, you're ensuring quality play for all levels, and I've got a Selkirk net for myself, and let me tell you, it's a game changer. It's all about playing on your terms wherever you are, whether it's the driveway or on the PPA Tour. So if you love pickleball as much as I do, and we do here at It Feels Right podcast, check out Selkirk's pickleball nets. Get the freedom to play anywhere and everywhere and elevate your game with the net trusted by the pros. Selkirk's got you covered. If you're interested in getting a net of your own, go to selkirk.com/collections/nets, and we'll link to that in the show notes. You can also find this link in the description of the show. But let's jump into this week's episode of It Feels Right with Robin Stone. All right, this is a little bit of a, I would say, out of pocket It Feels Right podcast. We don't typically have guests come on like this, but with a bunch of big news happening in the world of pickleball, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Mark. Welcome.
No, thank you. It's great to be here, Rob. It's good to catch up.
So I want to dig a little bit into UTR Sports, kind of the origin story of it. What made you jump into it? How it came about, and just kind of a little bit of the life cycle of, you know, where you started and where you're at now.
Yeah. So, you know, my background was sort of in sports. I played professional tennis. I went into the sort of Silicon Valley tech industry, spent a bunch of years working with startups. And then I was always fascinated by sort of this infusion of technology and media into sports. And so about 8-9 years ago, I started investing into all kinds of sports related things. And then, frankly, I came across this little piece of technology called UTR. It was being used in sort of fledglingly in a tennis setting with college coaches to help create a rating for players globally so coaches could better understand talent. And I sort of saw a vision for creating a language and a standard for that sport. And fast forward a bunch of years, we built a fun business in tennis, really bringing that industry together, bringing it into the 21st century with technology, connecting people, creating a currency and a language, and even going as far as creating a professional tour there. And then a couple of years ago, you know, we've migrated elsewhere, and hence the conversation today as we look to continue to migrate into the sports.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I come from a college tennis background as well, as a player as well as a coach. Coached alongside Chase Hodges, who is now a VP with you guys at UTR Sports. But it's interesting because when I remember, even back when, I mean, this was 2008, that kind of time frame, even when I was in school, we would look at, like, there wasn't, that rating wasn't established yet. So if we're looking at international players to recruit, you know, the French have their own rating system, the Germans have their own rating system, and they were all very, very different and kind of tough to understand. So was that kind of the impetus of?
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So there was a couple of academics originally back in the late 2000s who sort of said, well, what if we ingest results? We basically put everybody on the same platform. We looked at an objective measure that can connect everybody together. And let's use that as a basis for understanding how everybody is on the same schedule. And for college coaches, you know, this has really transformed college tennis. I mean, 75%+ of all D1 and D3 players now are international players because coaches can go elsewhere. They know exactly how good a player is playing in Lithuania or whether it's Australia, et cetera. And so suddenly it's a massive leveling of the playing field. And it's been a huge, huge elevation in college tennis. as you know, Rob. And so creating that currency and that language. But then, of course, this was much more than just college tennis. This was also going into clubs and high schools, the pro level, the junior level, and saying, look, if we can create level-based tennis, we open up the opportunities for everybody. The fact that we can play across age and gender and create level-based play on a court, because when you're playing each other, level-based play is a key to fun and excitement. It's no fun beating somebody badly or losing badly. But if you're on the court with somebody sort of at your same level, whether you're competing or just doing it recreationally, it makes the game a lot more fun, any sport with rackets. Yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, kind of the reason for our conversation here is, you know, a big partnership was announced with USA Pickleball, kind of the organizing body in the U.S. for pickleball, as well as the APP Tour, which is doing a ton of stuff, not just the pro tour, but running a ton of amateur events. They have the next gen series, they're getting into junior development type stuff. And I know that this announcement's coming now, but at the same time, I know there's been a lot in the works with you guys, and you guys have been watching pickleball for a while now. What was kind of that initial moment where for UTR Sports as a company that you were like, there's something here. It's growing like crazy. Maybe we really have to look at it. What was like the origin of seeing that?
Yeah. Well, you know, so I sort of got involved in UTR when it was sort of five people back in the early 2018, you know, and as we sort of got into that, you know, we had so much to work and focus on within tennis initially. You know, we brought in all kinds of wonderful partners, Amazon, Larry Ellison, the BMP, Tennis Australia, Novak and Roger Federer and the like. So there was just tremendous amount of stuff to be done. We saw what was happening in pickleball, and
those are investors in UTR, to be clear.
So those are partners and investors in us. Yeah. And really helping to build out that tennis ecosystem. And then, you know, we saw what was happening in pickleball. We were being approached a lot by folks. And then frankly, about 4+ years ago, I was approached actually by people in pickleball and saying, look, we've seen what you've been doing in tennis. Would you be interested in pickleball? And at the time, you know, when you're a small company and you're sort of growing and you're building, it's tough to figure out how to not to overwhelm a firm. So at the time, we did not dive in, but it was certainly on our radar, as was paddle and a bunch of other sports. That was right about the same time that a couple of folks from our firm actually left our firm and got involved in Duper and sort of said, hey, listen, you know, we want to go pursue this and lend support. But fast forward, you know, about 2 years ago is when we started to really lay the foundation, started to work up, really started to look at what it took to build up a rating and ranking system. Also how to really build the software to engage a community. This is so much more than the rating system. This is about figuring out how to connect people, support organizers and players and coaches. So it's been a journey now of about 2+ years. And I think what you're seeing in some of these announcements is actually not the prospect of doing something, but the reality that we're here.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you brought up an interesting point of, you know, it's so much more than a rating. Obviously you have a rating and you're the gold standard starting it with tennis. And it sounds like you're confident that it's going to be the gold standard in pickleball. But I think what is probably not realized is the tournament management software and the ability to host events and leagues and all of that stuff. So what would you say in terms of your focus in pickleball, what is the main priority, you know, entering the sport?
Yeah. So as we entered the sport, you know, kind of like tennis, you know, so you mentioned tennis before, it had 2000 rating systems and ranking systems around the world. You know, there are a number of rating systems in pickleball, of course, right? So whether it's a USA pickleball system, as you know, pickleball brackets and behind, there's been a system, and of course, Duper. I think what we saw was a large sort of dissatisfaction with sort of, hey, look, how do I assess my level and my rank? Ranking systems are fairly easy when you take a small group of people, you add a bunch of points to a set of tournaments, and depending on how far you get in the tournaments, hey, here's your pool and you can rank them. You can do that with the pro, like you played APP, et cetera, right? And hey, here's our ranking of our pro players. Where it gets much harder is when you expand that into a much larger pool, and you really need a way to create a relational database and a relational ranking system, not just an absolute system that's based on points. And that's where, you know, we've sort of entered here and built, frankly, an extraordinary framework now. And we can talk more about that in a minute. But that's only the beginning, right? So once you sort of understand, hey, how do I assess somebody's level? How do I now put them into fun experiences from a player perspective? And then also, how do I help organizers? You know, we have thousands and thousands of venues in this country, and for that matter, now emerging around the world, that are trying to help facilitate organization. And that could be a rec center, it could be a club, it could be whatever. And at the forefront of that are coaches and pros and GMs who want to create a better experience. And the best way to do that is to give them the tools. The tools to say, look, I can run a tournament, I can run a league, I can run a match play, I can do a camp. And it's so much more than just a tournament. What the focus in pickleball today right now has been more recreational and tournaments. Leagues are just starting to emerge. And you know, when you look at other sports, leagues is actually a much broader thing that's much more fun. That could be a flex league where you do individual stuff, or it could be a group thing. So the notion of using technology, connecting people, right, is really the basis of what we do. We're a technology company. And so we're trying to provide the tools to those players and coaches to help facilitate a better experience.
Let's say I'm a facility manager, owner, operator that has, call it 12 pickleball courts, and I'm just opening up and I hear about, you know, obviously there's a bunch of different softwares. There's court reservation software, there's rating software, there's all of these different tools. What would you say? And I'm like, I don't know any of it. I'm just getting into the sport. I'm opening this facility. I'm seeing how it's booming. What would I be able to do with UTR out of the gate? Like, could I run everything with UTR?
So out of the gate, what you can do is we can set you up on what's called our digital clubs. And what we do with that is we basically create a digital environment for you and all of your members. So that could be physical members or digital members. And it basically allows you to have this community. And the way we build that community is that they basically click in for free. They can join for free. They can download our app. They can become a natural member. And now here comes this basis from which you now can communicate, organize, set up whatever you want. We got messaging back and forth. You can do a tournament, do a clinic. You can post scores. We'll talk about the rating in a second, right? We built basically an objective standard so that you can have a rating based on tournament and match play only. And then there's also one that's more self-posting and allows you recreationally if you're not that interested in that competitive thing. So that's very important. As you know, part of the challenges we have in pickleball now is the quality of data and some of these rating systems isn't great, right? So basically, as an organizer, we can set you up for free to do that. And then if you want to start using this as a tool to make money and you want to charge registration fees and other things, we have the payment systems and the like. We'll charge a small fee for that to sort of help facilitate. And that's really less about us making money and more about if we're going to get that deep with somebody, we want them a little bit committed, right? Like we spend a lot of time, money, and effort with customer service and supporting people. And then we have technologies that allows those organizers and players to interact. So we have mobile app technology now. We have group creation capabilities. You know, there's some good group capabilities that have been built out there with Pickleheads and Pickle Play. You know, Playtime Scheduler is another one that, you know, sort of come up because there's a massive need for people to try to connect with the community. And so what we built is both these technologies for the organizers, what we call business to business, right, as well as technologies for the consumer and the player in the app. And so for us, you can also connect other things in. So if you have a particular court reserve or whatever you may be using for reservation, you can connect that into our system as well. So we're really trying to create just a digital hub that allows organizers, players, parents, coaches to live in the same ecosystem and to be able to communicate easily, which isn't there today.
Yeah.
Right? That's very much not there today.
Yep. What do you see as the biggest challenge coming into pickleball? Because obviously you have a steady business on the tennis side. You've got a bunch of providers. You've got a pro tour that we haven't really talked about. That's been a big piece of what you guys have done. What do you see as the biggest challenge coming into pickleball?
Well, so like any sport, when you enter as a new entrant, you know, just trying to educate people about what you built, making it as easy and as seamless. You know, we have invested tens of millions of dollars. You know, we have a firm of 150 people. Like, technology and making this as seamless and as easy and connecting people is what we just spent an extraordinary amount of money. But now educating people about, hey, what do we do and why us? And And what's this rating system? And why is it better than Duper? And why should we use your platform? Or so it's usually an education. And I think it's less about the technology now, because frankly, we built it. And so now it's more about giving people the opportunity to participate in building momentum and buzz around it. Our approach to the market is a little bit different than a lot of other folks. We sort of say, look, we should not have exclusivity. We should not force you into a place you don't want to be. You know, there's a little bit of that going on in this industry and others as well, right? We're just kind of like, hey, you know, once you're sort of in, we hook you. And our view is, look, our job is to build the best possible thing. And when we do, you're going to want to use it, not because you have to, but because you want to. And so this is still an industry that's very, very early. Like, even though there's so many people that play it from a business and a technological perspective, you know, 90%+, maybe 98% of the players out there really aren't digitally connected. They're not part of something. They just enjoy to get on a court and hit some balls, right? So there's so much more that we can do to help support people in the ecosystem. And that's going to be a long journey. And we're committed to that journey. This is not a flyby by us. You know, we've had great success in tennis. We are super committed to pickleball. We went through this process with APP and USAP, and they selected us. You know, they vetted us carefully. They had the opportunity to work with others. You know, they've selected us as our long-term partners. And so we're super excited. But it's going to be a journey, and it's a build. And, you know, there's going to be bumps along the road. There always is. But boy, it's super exciting to support this industry.
Yeah. Do you feel like the partnership with USA Pickleball and APP, APP is obviously doing a lot on the international front? They are, you know, they're hosting tournaments in England, and they've powered tournaments in India. Is that a big piece of why you wanted to work with them, is the international piece? Because I do feel like that's a little bit of open ocean, if you'll say, in terms of being, you know, the U.S. is very saturated. There's a lot of people playing. There's a lot of competition here in terms of ratings and tournament software providers. I guess what's the outlook internationally?
Yeah, no. So it's interesting, you know, originally when we were looking to enter pickleball and get involved, you know, APP got in touch with us. And APP was actually very aggressive about wanting to pull us in and work with us. I think they were significantly dissatisfied with the solutions that were available to them as a firm that was committed to building long-term innovation and growth. You know, Ken Herman and what he said of his evangelism and support for the industry is fantastic. You know, you got Mike Polinsky over there, Melissa having joined now, McCurley, you know. So they have a really solid team. And they really understand the sport well. And they said, look, we can do better than what exists today. So even though people say, hey, this is a very mature market, from my vantage point, not at all, right? This is an industry that's gotten a lot of numbers in terms of people playing this sport, but we really haven't supported them and we really haven't developed it. And then, of course, internationally, we are still very much in the early days, right? I think there's still these international global pickleball federations. There are other people here vying for this. There's small federations that are getting set up around the world. And I think for the most part, you know, the vast majority of people playing the sport are not connected. They're not connected in any meaningful way with technology and communities. And APP, rightfully so, is thinking about this not just domestically, but internationally and saying, look, how do we build an industry? What always happens in these things is that, you know, there end up being different sides of the equation and there's a little bit of competition, a little bit of feuding. You know, there's a lot of drama in pickleball, more so than I think in other sports, you know, as an outsider coming in and now having spent several years in it. But, you know, that sort of goes with the territory. Our view is that, look, execute, block and tackle, keep getting better and better at the tools, the software and the technology we can provide, create good experiences for people and they'll come back. And that's domestically and internationally. So we are committed to that. And then, of course, USAP, as you saw, you know, with APP, we spent the last year and a half really perfecting our technology, working very closely with them as a partner. So even though we haven't talked much about it, we've been working on a daily basis with them. And now here's USAP, where, you know, they are the governing body. You know, they should be the governing body. They should be a nonprofit in here that's sort of ultimately becoming a rules and regulator and creates a national championship. Mike Neely, having come in, you know, in the last year or so, I think is doing a terrific job. you know, I think he's a professional. He's balanced. He's thoughtful. And I think ultimately, USAP, I think, has a bright future. They've also recognized what they're good at and what they're not good at.
Yeah.
And technology and technology investment and development, you know, is something that is really shouldn't be done by federations and governing bodies.
Yeah.
And so they brought us in as their partner. And we're going to help them.
So looking at the kind of I've been in this world since 2019 and I've seen a lot of changes. I've seen, you know, things come and go really quickly. 3 months feels like 3 years in this world, as I'm sure you've felt. But looking at the landscape now, we've got kind of an alliance with UTR Sports, USA Pickleball, the APP, and then we have everything that now United Pickleball is doing, UPA, I suppose it's called, which is the PPA, MLP, Duper now. They have pickleball brackets, Pickleball Central on the retail side, online retail side. How do you see everything coexisting, or do you see things coexisting? Like, what is your forecast for how all of this moves forward?
Yeah. So look, there's a lot of drama now about us versus them. And, you know, that's sort of the natural thing, right? I think that, you know, when you look at PPA and MLP and Tom Dundon and Connor and, you know, and Tito and the guys at Duper and those other stuff, you know, my view on this stuff is really a lot more calm, a lot more relaxed, right? Which is, look, what's happening now is that people are making significant investments into the sport. People are really supporting this ecosystem, and that's great for players and organizers, right? And so people should use whatever thing is available to them that's the best possible thing. My view is that instead of fighting over 5% market share and, you know, pickleball brackets are, well, we're the dominant market share. Yeah, listen, you've been running most of the tournaments, but there's so few tournaments. Right. And by the way, we haven't even begun to proliferate into leagues and other things. Right. So, like, let's stop worrying about, you know, this little small pie and let's figure out how to expand the pie. And and in expanding that pie, there's so much more opportunity for everybody. Right. And we would love to work with those guys as well. You know, I spent lots of time talking to all of them. Right. And we'd be happy to collaborate with them. So it doesn't have to be the starch wall of boy, us versus them. Yep. What we should be doing is we should figure out how to make the experience better and better for players, better and better for organizers, and really grow the sport, you know, and not get ahead of ourselves. And so in a perfect world, you have one standard, one language, one rating, one ranking. You know, in some cases that works. There's many sports where that doesn't, most sports where that doesn't exist, right? Ranging from football, you know, when back in the days, right? And to tennis now where we have seven governing bodies, right? So I think we can coexist for sure, but players can take advantage of both. You can have a Duper rating depending on what you're doing, right? And you can have a UTRP rating and, you know, you can play in a pickleball brackets tournament and a UTR tournament and an APP tournament. So from a player perspective, this is all good. This is all good. It's more opportunity. It's more things that you can cherry pick from. And then from our perspective, from a business perspective, our responsibility is build the best possible product. And if we do that, then our business will do fine. And if we don't do that, we won't. And then shame on us, you know? And I think that's sort of a very simplistic view, which is, hey, look, this is capitalism. It's efficient markets, you know? May the best product and the best solutions win.
Fair. Yep. So the focus is on creating great experience, making the best products, and letting the chips fall where they fall.
Yeah, as they should. I mean, that's ultimately what's market efficiencies are about. And you know, when you go today and you jump on social media platforms that use, you know, freemium products, right? You're using the ones that work the best for you and you lean into them, you know, whether you're on Instagram or Facebook or X or whatever it may be, right? Like you're using it because it works for you, not because you have to or you're forced to use it. And I think that's sort of the way it should be, right? And I think today people are so accustomed to just having everything at their fingertips on a phone, right? And they're very quick to switch to other things. And so when you build something that's better because of the ability to migrate people quickly, so this notion of entrenched establishment in this sport, no. You know, we came into tennis. It was incredibly mature, very established, seven governing bodies, and we built an extraordinary business. Why? Because we've opened up the door for more choice, more personalization, a better product, a better experience. And guess what? Once you do that, people will migrate to you. Yeah. So that's our responsibility to do that in pickleball as well. And we've come a long way to doing that now. You know, our rating and ranking system is already better than ranking systems for APP pro players, as you probably know, right? Yep. You know, and I think the way we built our infrastructure and the way we've set up this rating system and ranking system, as well as the TMS EMS. Pickleball is a funny thing. There's so many divisions and nuances with draws and this and that. Yeah. It's you know, we were sort of chuckling a couple of years ago, like, boy, who started this, right? Like, it wouldn't be, if you had to start something tomorrow, this probably wouldn't be like, wait, 75 divisions and everything age and this and these round robins and back draws and triple elimination. And you're like, holy moly, you know, does it have to be this complicated? But having said all that, we've now built the capability for you to run these events at all scale, small to large, and to create a good experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. When I think about like the all the different divisions, age divisions, skill divisions, it's like it would be like starting like an e-com business that has like a million SKUs, which is just a disaster. And it's just, but that's what it is. And I imagine it was not a, coming from tennis in terms of tournament management software, pretty straightforward. This has, you have so many different draw types. You have, you know, sometimes you can come back from the back draw and win gold. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes there's just so many different formats, and there's pool play and round robins and So I feel you.
We'll see what happens over time, right? Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, figuring out how to, you know, ultimately do this over time and having the tools available, your governing body should decide that, right? But look, I think it's an interesting time. I tip my hat to what Tom Dundon has done, you know, his commitment to the sport, the investment he's made, the evangelism. I tip my hat to Ken Herman and APP, you know, and, you know, they get a lot of grief on some of the things they don't always do great, you know, but the flip side is, boy, they're committed. They love the sport. They're supporting it in a huge way, you know, and I think that's great. You know, every sport needs evangelism, it needs investment to grow it. But boy, we're still so early. We're still so early in really connecting this community.
You mentioned coming into tennis, which was already a very mature market. One, I think obviously there's some similarities, but also differences coming into pickleball. We mentioned with tennis, the rating systems were very country specific, and it was very fragmented. Whereas in pickleball, as you mentioned, the drama aspect, you had some people leave UTR and decide to start to jump on Duper and get that going. So you're coming into pickleball with already kind of an established, call it universal rating system. Why do you think, I'm assuming a competitive person. Why do you think that the UTR P rating is going to be better than the Duper rating?
Yeah, so we've already spent over a year ingesting data, working very closely with APP, building the rating system, testing the rating system, validating the rating system. And so, you know, there are a couple of things that we do, right? So first off, if you're coming into our system and you haven't played tournaments and you're not an elite thing, you can immediately come in, answer five or six questions, and you get what's called a provisional rating. So the notion of being anchored in this ecosystem, right? So the notion of being able to do that and understand, hey, where do I kind of fall? We have about an 80% accuracy on that, which is actually pretty amazing, you know, that you can ask a series of questions and kind of get level based. And then once you start to compete in some events or you start posting scores with your friends, you then develop a numerical rating. And the interesting thing about the numerical rating is that there'll be one that's purely objective and what we call the verified rating based on tournaments and match play with its set of rules. And, you know, there's no sandbagging and there's none of that stuff. And then there's also a rating that's unverified. So if you're never going to play tournaments and you don't want to be Rob Nunnery and go whoop everybody's butt, you know, you can have a real fun and still understand what level you're at. And so that's sort of our infrastructure we've set up. And what that does is it allows you to compartmentalize high quality data, that's tournament data, that's objective from subjective input. And we've demonstrated now on both fronts that we can build something more accurate than what currently exists. And we already have tens of thousands and thousands of players that are in here in our system already. And now as we roll out and we proliferate our event and tournament management system, as we proliferate our apps, as we build groups where people can ingest scores and post it, we're just going to keep building it up and building it up and building it up. And then that ends up being a huge blob of data that's interconnected. Yep. So across men and women and juniors, here's juniors coming, right? Here's domestic yep. and international players. And so we know, and we've been perfecting for years and years, the idea of building the most accurate rating systems and ranking systems. We've done it in tennis in multiple layers. We've done it in pickleball. We have trending. We do it with pro tennis, et cetera. So this is what we know how to do. Right. Yep. And we've already shown it. And so now it's just about adding more to that infrastructure. And we're going to have the objective piece of it and we'll have the subjective piece of it, but it'll be separated. Gotcha. And that, of course, as you know, being that you're very familiar with Duper, immediately jumps out and sort of says, hey, this is a very different approach. Yep. And look, not to take anything away from Duper. I mean, look, I think what they've been doing, they got out ahead. They've been supporting the industry. We just think that technologically and their approach and some other things that they're doing isn't optimized for peak accuracy.
Yep.
And it was optimized for other purposes, simplicity, getting more people into the system, et cetera. Well, I think we built a better mousetrap now. And I think ultimately the proof's going to be in the pudding. We've demonstrated it now and we want to proliferate broadly.
So you said verified versus unverified, verified being more of, is it sanctioned official? Like what determines verified?
So verified is essentially any result that is run by an organizer based on a set of rules. So okay. That could be an APP event. It could be a USAP event. It could be a UTR. It could be you having set up your digital community, your club, and you're organizing things and you follow a set of rules. What we're avoiding, of course, is the idea that somebody can self-post. Right. So the notion that you can, in theory, manipulate the rating. Probably the best analogy is golf handicap, right? Like if you play golf, right? Like, hey, I played a bunch of scores. Oh, wait, I need to, you know, I got a tournament coming up. I'm going to post a couple of scores, right? The fact that you're even able to do that just tees up an inherent conflict. So having an objective match-based rating for competitive pickleball is really, really important.
Yep.
Now, the vast majority of people, if we do our job, are going to have self-posted, group posted, et cetera, ratings. And those are more for them to optimize their personal experience and be on the level based play and the like, right? It's so interesting. I play a lot of pickleball myself now, and it's so interesting how competitive people get at all levels, yep. right? So, yep. you know, and that's the one wonderful thing about pickleball is the fact that you have these national championships and these events at all levels and all ages and both genders, you know, you can come in and you can really get your juices flowing, right?
Yeah.
But that's really a huge difference with us is the ability to create an objective measure as opposed to something that can be influenced by self-posting or low quality data.
Yeah, it's super interesting because at a facility I help out with in Tennessee, they had kind of Duper nights for call it 4-0 plus. And you wouldn't get like the 4-5s playing because you know, they had the highest rating. There's no really, they're not going to go up, right? There's no incentive for them to really play that. But I think if they could use the unverified for that, they would play it and the participation would go up. And so I do see that as like a detractor, not being able to just have an unverified rating because that's a perfect use case for it.
Yeah. I mean, so you know, the notion that you can have one rating that is verified and unverified, and here's the blob, right? And there's a reliability, and then there's, hey, here's just my match results, right? You know, golf is that good example where, hey, if you play in a tournament, those scores stay with you for the year, right?
Because
layup 9 index, oh, I just played at a 4 index in 4 tournaments. Well, this should stay, right? So I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to create something that's a tool. Right. Like, you know, it's a tool for people to use depending on what their needs are. And it should be as accurate as possible for the purposes of what it's intended to do. Right. Yeah. And if you're in tournament play, then I think what you need to do is you need to be able to have a fair and equitable event occur. right? And people get really frustrated, you know, when they get slotted into something and, you know, there's this sandbagging going on. Yeah. And it's just, you know, it's just not fair to anybody, right?
Yeah. What, in terms of the verified, is that going to be collecting, so call it for tournaments, if there's a PPA tournament or an MLP event happening, are those results feeding into the UTRP rating as well?
Yeah. So, you know, one of the interesting things that sort of happened in this industry is that, you know, the notion of trying to create exclusivity and force people into certain behaviors is something that's happened. You know, I think the PPA, and by virtue of their ownership and Tom Dundon's ownership of Pickleball Brackets, has basically kept data away from others. You know, they have said, we will not share our data in Pickleball Brackets and tournaments with others. We will not allow you to use that data to create a rating system.
Yeah,
I think that's sad. I think it's unfortunate, you know, that I think those players aren't afforded that opportunity. So as of today, we do not have access to that. I think we've had access to APP data. So even though they've been on Pickleball Brackets, the deal that they struck with Brackets at the time allowed us to access that data. And of course, now we have USAP data. So there is a little bit of this, hey, there's a data over here and there's data here. And boy, in a perfect world, we could all come together. That's not where we are today. You know, we, of course, are going to offer now a platform where anybody coming onto our system, APP, USAP, UTR, and for that matter, any organizer out there, that all gets ingested in. We would ideally love to be in a place where we can ingest that other data as well. And same thing for Duper, right? Like Duper, you know, is sitting there today, and they're going to have access to certain data and not others. Right. So it's not an ideal thing, Rob. And, you know, I think in a perfect world, we could all share more data. So there's going to be a little bit of this growth. Right. Yeah. And there's going to be a little bit of this. Oh, gosh, you know, do I have different ratings and rankings and how do they compare and what results are in what systems? But I think over time, this has a tendency to sort itself out. It did for us in tennis. You know, we ingest all data now in tennis, right? Because ultimately we give a free rating and a free tool back. And like,
why not?
Your governing body or somebody else, like, you know, what's the, but that's not really the mindset. I think early on people have been trying to be very exclusive and, you know,
it's early in the sport and people are, it's a land grab basically, right? People are trying to own as much as they can.
Yeah. And I think ultimately, you know, what happens in most of these sports industries is that, look, those barriers get broken down. And ultimately where we should be as a sport is what we articulate at the front end, which is, look, people should have choice. People should be able to access things and the best product should win. And our view is that, look, that should be our mantra. We should be able to stand by delivering the best possible product. We have more people. We have more investment. We have more capabilities. And it's easy for us to say because we're doing all that, right? Whereas others, oh, well, we don't quite have the resources. We got to create exclusivity. It's not really a priority for us. We got to box people in. That doesn't help the player.
Yeah. And we mentioned, or I mentioned, the pro series you have, pro tour you have for tennis.
Yeah.
You are also getting into hosting some events and pickleball now. I don't believe it's on the pro side, though, right? It's amateur exclusive.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've launched a amateur series, and you know, we are a technology company, but at the same time, what we do at times is that we will create different event types, and we will create that as a way to both fill a need in the market, but also for us to just be very active and close to the players and organizers to learn. You know, we currently have not created a professional tour. We created one from scratch doing COVID in tennis. You know, we set up a global tour that runs over about 200 events now globally, 26 countries. We stream it on Amazon, and we've invested over $20 million in prize money to support those players. So we built that up in tennis, and we do everything from A to Z with technology and rankings and the like. You know, at some point, would we do that in pickleball? Maybe. You know, it's certainly something that we could do and we could enter if there was the appropriate time and place to do it. But for now, what we're doing is, look, we really want to get more into the grassroots, the recreational player, leagues, tournaments, events, clinics, camps, connect people, support the community. You know, we tend to spend a lot of time talking about the pro part of a sport that gets all the media attention and everything else.
The 1% of it, right?
it's a one percenter, right? And meanwhile, yeah. you know, here's Mary Sue playing locally at her rec center. And like, what can I do to help Mary Sue have a better experience? Connecting in more, creating more events for her, discovering friends to interact with. And so doing both of those, we've done in tennis. And we may do both of that in pickleball. But for now, we're focused on connecting people and creating a better experience.
Yep. And just to kind of wrap things up here, I don't want to take too much of your time, but what do you see looking, let's say we're having this conversation 5 years from now, for you to be, call it, incredibly happy and pleased with what's happened within the pickleball sector of your business over the past 5 years, what would have happened?
I think we have to build and continue to build great product. Right. Like, I think ultimately, if we build great product and people are happy and they're having good experiences, then I'm going to be happy because I think the other pieces will fall into place. I hope people continue to be collaborative. You know, I think the notion of, you know, the way we've entered pickleball now is actually with the governing body and with APP. We didn't have any of that in tennis. Yeah. And despite that, you know, we didn't partner with the USTA. We didn't partner with the ITF, the International Tennis Federation. Right. And so, and we've shown what is possible, right, in that sport. And so here for us, we want to create great experience. We want to support the ecosystem. We'd love to partner with everybody. We think that we can be a technology provider and supporter. And I think that if we can do that, we'll continue to support the sport and we'll lay a strong foundation. We'll build a strong ecosystem. And then I think the sport will thrive and it'll have long legs. And I think we want to help support the governing body. I think it's super important to have a governing body that's healthy, you know, strong and can ultimately provide leadership so it doesn't get into some of the self-interested stuff and commercial-minded stuff. And, you know, the governing body today doesn't have a big thing like the USTA or Wimbledon or things like that, right? So I think, you know, helping them and let them reach more people and to provide a set of frameworks and Google rules and then go international. You know, let's bring this sport to the world. It's still early, you know, and this is a sport that's great fun and provide a lot of pleasure. It supports the orthopedic community as well. You know, I think this will be a fun journey, and it'll be a long journey, but it'll be a fun journey.
And with pickleball as a whole, what's your view on it as a sport? Obviously, participation skyrocketed, especially since COVID. What's your view on pickleball as a whole, and honestly, compared to tennis as well?
Well, look, I think it's fantastic. I mean, it gets people out there, keeps them active, gives a level of exercise here. And people say, you know, you're not sweating or running as much as you are in perhaps in soccer or in tennis or whatever. But like, it's getting people active. That's a wonderful thing. It's giving people enjoyment. You know, it's making them social. So from the grassroots level all the way up as a pro sport, it's just so fun to see the level of talent just keeps getting better and better, right? Yep. I think the quality, we're now seeing some fun tennis guys come into this as well. You know, I saw Donald Young just is super committed now, right? You got Jack Sock in there. You know, Ben Johns, is obviously just a phenomenal player. So it's been fun to watch as the quality goes higher and higher. I'm going to be super interested to see just how the shot selection and the power and the use of equipment sort of changes over time, right? Yeah. Like you sort of saw that in other sports. You've seen it in golf, you've seen it in tennis, right? Like 10 years from now, you know, what does the drive look like? What does the dink look like? You know, how do strategies change? And so I think it's going to be great to watch. I think the fact that this is on the airways, the fact that, you know, we can see pickleball TV and we can see it on Amazon and ESPN and CBS supports the media. I hope the sponsors keep coming in here, which seems to be the case because of the big community. And so I think this is a sport that's here to stay. This is not a fad. Yeah. This is something that people really want and they enjoy. Now we just got to proliferate out the community and make it more robust. And then the infrastructure needs to get built out. I mean, there's so much infrastructure being built now and committed to now. And that's needed in the community. And then we'll get past the drama of tennis versus pickleball. And, you know, people make a lot of hype out of this. Like, it doesn't have to be one or the other. You know, I can have seven different extracurricular interests. Why does one have to conflict with the other? Just give me the choice and have a good experience with it. So I think it's great. I think it's fabulous. I'm a huge, huge fan and huge supporter. And I've played a lot of pickleball. My wife sort of pulled me into it, and we've had a lot of fun with it. So I'm nowhere near Rob Nunnery level, that's for sure. it's great fun.
So most of our audience here on It Feels Right is it's pretty active players. They follow the pro scene. They understand the landscape of pro pickleball. They know Duper. Most of them have Duper. Most of them, you know, have had the USA Pickleball rating, UTPR, which on a quick note on that, is that phasing out or what's the story on that?
Yeah, so we will be phasing it out, you know, over time. I think right now we're going to be leaning in and we're going to be ingesting the results and we'll develop this and we'll phase it out. I think obviously people have been largely dissatisfied with that system, you know, for a bunch of different reasons.
Yeah.
And so we're going to phase it out and I think we're going to continue to grow and proliferate what we're doing. So I think for your audience, hey, listen, download our app, take a look at what we got, follow what we're doing. You know, it's free. You get a free rating. You can connect with players. You can find things. You're going to see our ecosystem build more and more. You don't have to do anything, but pay attention and hopefully we can do something good and supportive for what you're doing and what your interests are. Yep. As we continue to proliferate what we're doing.
Love it. Thanks so much for joining today, Mark. It's been a pleasure and best of luck on the journey.
Thanks, buddy. Same to you. Always a pleasure to see you, Rob.
Likewise. Take care.